Today, on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about touring homes, what to bring, and what questions to ask. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome to the program, episode number 41, Touring Homes, What to Bring, and What Questions to Ask. Hello, everybody. My name is Silas Lindenstein. I'm a real estate agent with Boutique Brokerage out here in the Seattle, Washington area. But if you're not from Seattle, that's okay. This podcast is still for you. This podcast is all about educating and empowering home buyers all over the nation. We say things a little different in Washington, maybe, than in your state. We do things a little bit different, but essentially buying a house is buying a house. I cover the process, the troubles, the pitfalls, the things to watch out for that will apply to anywhere in the United States, which it's been my delight to get to help people all over the nation get into a home, whether it's just on their own, they already have an agent, or if they connect with one of my agents. I have a network of agents all over the country that I, when listeners write in and say, Silas, I need an agent. Do you know anyone in this area? I connect them with somebody in that area. I either already know them, I already have that connection, or there's someone I've vetted, or I will go out and make that new relationship. I have tricks to find out who's good, who's not, who's interesting. Oh, don't get a boring agent. That's miserable. You're going to spend a lot of time with them. I connect people with real estate agents, and then they're closing out homes this year. It's been a wonderful, unexpected side product of this podcasting. And then I get emails from other people who were just on their own anyway, or already had an agent, and they're into a home, and they thank me, and I feel so good doing this each week. Now, if this is your first time listening to the show, if you are just looking for the step-by-step instructions on how to buy a home, please, you can go to the first 10 episodes. Just backtrack on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening, or go to the website, yourbuyingahome.com. Listen to those first 10 episodes. That is the step-by-step process of buying a home broken out into those 10 episodes. And then from there, we go on to different elements of it, or different strategies and different problems. And you see the titles. You can see what we're talking about in these little short episodes here. So yeah, that's there. But oh, also, if you want a print version of those first 10 episodes, I do have an ebook. Just message me, email me again at silas@silasgetsreal.com. Say, hey, can I get a copy of that ebook? So that you have that visual to look at. I'll go ahead and email that to you. It's no cost. Doesn't cost you a thing. Tell me where you're from. I'd like to know where I'm sending these for future reasons. Let me know where I'm sending it to you. And again, of course, if you want an agent, that's the same email, silas@silasgetsreal.com. Also, a big thanks to everyone out there who was going out and giving me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. It helps spread the word about the show. It helps us in rankings. We got up to number 13 last year. And now I need your help. I do need your help. If you have not rated this yet, can you please go rate this podcast? I want to kind of pop it up back there. If you know someone who wants to know about home buying, please refer them to the show. Send them a link. And of course, I want to tell you all that when I'm not helping people buy homes, whether physically in person, like if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I'd love to help you buy a home, right? I'd love to do that. But when I'm not helping people buy a home, I'm watching movies and I review movies, and I have another podcast called Black and a Half. You can find it at blackandahalf.com or go to any Apple Podcasts, wherever, search for it, Black, the N sign, a half.com. If you go and listen to that, if you like movies and you want to hear me talking about something else other than real estate, you need more Silas. You need to binge Silas Flicks for a weekend, go ahead and go there and listen to that podcast. So, before we get into the main topic, though, question of the week. The question of the week actually spurred on the idea for this episode. Question of the week comes from Jamie out in, she's down in Fresno. She wrote, Silas, how many homes should I see when I go out? I think I talked about this. I forget which episode, but I think I talked about this. Typically, I like to see 5 or 6 homes on one outing. I feel like after that, you start blurring ones and you're not giving a fair chance to the early ones, sometimes not to the late ones, because you forget stuff. Now, you can see more. I would say it also does depend on the area, because like in Seattle here, every house is so vastly different. There's so much varying topography, shall I say. There's just so much different about every home we go to that I really feel like you got to give the time for each one. Whereas if you know what kind of townhouse you want, and you want 2-bed, 1-bath townhouse, and you know the area, sometimes you're just going in looking at different layouts. So they're like, oh, the bathroom's over here. It's not, or the layout's pretty much the same. You're just looking at the finishing choices, or just those final, oh, the garage is on the left side instead of the right, you know, or like those planned complexes, right? And new construction or newer construction. Those you can probably see a lot more and just pop in and out just to figure out which one you want. But when they're all so unique, like out here, I like to stick to 5 or 6. And yeah, that's what I've really found is the sweet spot. So of course, yeah, it depends on you, but I'll tell you, at 5 can feel pretty exhausting. And that's just doing like 15-minute showings. Sometimes we can, I used to do half hour. Now I'm down to 15-minute showings, because usually we know by the end of 15 minutes if you want it or not, or if you're interested. And then we can always come back if you feel like you need more time on it, right? It's easier to come back than it is to schedule that first visit. So just get that tour and go back if you need to. So the reason it spawned this question, because I started thinking about and looking at past episodes about touring homes. And what you should specifically do, what you should bring, questions you should be asking. And I thought I would go over that. Also, another great thing, I'm working with a client right now who's so here in Seattle, we have a lot of basements. And the basements can be on the shorter side. Now, someone like me, I'm not the tallest person. I'm average. Technically, I'm 1 inch above average in height. So I'm not average, but it's neither here nor there. But most basements are fine for me if I'm walking in them. But I have a client who's much taller than me. And so sometimes I add in extra homes because we're literally just going to see if the basement's tall enough. And I can see that also working with the attics too, if it's a converted attic. Sometimes, so I will add on homes on the list over the 5 if I know that's going to be an issue, that like, hey, we might not spend more than 3 minutes in this house because we're going to like, well, they can't fit in half of it, so don't bother. So if you have little things like that, I could see adding on times. Anyway, focus, Silas. Back to the topic. So what to bring? So I'm breaking this into 2 parts. 1, what to bring on home tours, just some practical things, and then some questions you should ask. Okay, what to bring? Like, I always think about making this little bag, and I swear I'm going to do it. One of these days, I'm showing up with this little bag of stuff so I don't forget it when I need it in case the clients don't have it. 1, tape measure. Sometimes you may have a requirement for tape measure, or you're trying to figure things out. You may not get a lot of opportunity in a house, so you may want to bring a tape measure with you that first time. Figure out things. Get an idea of spacing. And just in case it is something important about that house, that you want to know ahead of time. But tape measure can't go wrong carrying around one held back. Number two, a marble. Bring a marble. Why? You put it on the floor and see if it rolls. It's a great way to test to see if the house is not that even, or if there's a slight tilt or a big tilt. Yes, you can bring a level. And yes, your iPhone probably has a level app, but I like to see it in person. I like, if I brought a level, I'd probably bring like a 2 foot level. Cause I want to not my phone size. I'd bring a long one to see where all it goes or if it comes back up. Right. But a marble has the same effect and it's so tiny. Just like drop it on, see if it moves. Camera. I mean, y'all got a phone, so you probably have a camera. Feel free to take some pictures. Now, if it's an occupied home, I kind of may frown on picture taking because that person lives there. They may not want their stuff taken a picture of. Like, so gets a little iffy. But if your partner can't make it, I sold a house recently that one of the buyers couldn't make it to the house and they had to get an offer on it. So they just took pictures. And so they're closing on this house and only one of them seen it. You think that sounds crazy, but people do that all the time. Military have to all the time. people were doing it with COVID all the time. So it's possible. Just take pictures and remind yourself of later something that you wanted to check back at the house or if you had questions on. Sometimes go take pictures like of the electrical panel and make sure that is a safe one later. Things that you're curious about, just have a little camera that you take pictures. A notebook, have something that you can take notes on. I mean, yeah, you can just use your phone, take some notes in there. But I feel like there's something about a piece of paper separate that you can write things down on, questions you have or thoughts on the place. Checklist. Somebody's a client bringing those recently. A checklist. If there's some must-haves that you want and you want to make sure, especially if you're going on those like 8 home days, you could end up missing something. Like, does it have a refrigerator? That's probably obvious. But little things, like things that we don't use a lot or don't stick out, like dishwashers or that kind of thing. Having a checklist is really good for that. So that way you can literally say, this checked all the boxes. And you can decide if you just want some of your wants in there as well. Whichever. Just make a checklist of things that you like and things you're looking for. Things that you would be upset if you found out about later. Okay. Slip-on shoes and socks. This is important. You're going to go in and out of houses a lot. I would. It took me years to finally realize that I should just go get some slip-ons that I wear pretty much only when I do real estate and I'm showing homes. I slip them on because I'm going to be popping in and out all day. Don't wear those long boots with tons of ties. It's going to take 10 minutes to get. Yeah, there's little booties you can have. But also, and wear socks because sometimes you have to take your shoes off if there's no like little booties to put on over your shoes. But also, you can notice more imperfections with your shoes off. If it's, you know, you're barefoot. I mean, you're not barefoot. You still have your socks on. But you can feel if the flooring wasn't done properly or, yeah, if there's something weird going on there. So I actually like to walk around a lot of it without shoes on, even if I can wear them. Toilet paper. This may seem a little too personal, but bring some toilet paper. Have some in the car because you never know. You're out and about. What is the etiquette? Should you use a bathroom while you're looking at other people's homes? No, you should try not to, but nature calls. And sometimes, especially in COVID, there's hardly anywhere you can go to the bathroom anyway, right? So You gotta go. Especially if you have a little kid with you or something, they're gonna go. So have some toilet paper there because you can't expect the home to have it. Especially if it's not occupied, then it's not gonna. And I've been on more than one occasion when people have gone in the bathroom and thought there would be toilet paper, but did not look. Yes. So just bring some, just in case. Have some. We should always have some in our trunk, right? A printout of each home. Oh, that's a good idea. Put it with a checklist. If you can, if you have a printer. I mean, this isn't the greenest way. You can also, like, maybe print them out, put them on your tablet, and have them there, a little PDF of each one. So you can look up the facts of each home as you're there. Bring some snacks. Never know. Never know how long, much longer things are going to be. You may not have short times in between every house. So get your snacks so you don't have to stop. And a water bottle. Stay hydrated. Be safe. Hydration helps you make good decisions. Don't drink too much or you got to go to the bathroom. And you might have forgot the toilet paper. So anyway, a bottle of water. Just make up that little suitcase of that stuff. It'd be great. And so second part of this, what questions should you ask? Number one, when are offers due? You're going to have a couple choices. People are going to have either offers due upon receipt or they're going to have a due date for them. Okay, so this is what happens. House goes up on Wednesday. There's likely a due date of Monday or Tuesday where they're going to review all the offers. That's just what happens when times are competitive. They will put offer due dates to try to get the most offers at once to compete against each other. So usually you have time and you have to find out if they're going to honor that. Sometimes they have the option to take in something early. So you want to they put a, review dates on Monday, but then they got a super sweet offer that says, we'll do this now, but you need to take it now or it won't last till Monday. Sometimes they'll jump on that. If they're not confident about the house, they may not wait it out. So you have to, it's a house by house situation, right? The other option is they'll have seller will review upon receipt, which means sometimes it means they want to get this done. So if you're interested, put in the house. And when I see that, those are a house that we have to jump on right away. Seller wants to review upon receipt. So they're ready to move for various reasons. Number two, how many offers have been made? You can ask. The buyer's agent can ask the listing agent. They don't have to tell you how many. They usually do. But you can always ask to know how competitive this is going to be. A lot of people don't put in offers until right before the due time. So there is that. But don't despair just because you hear there's several offers or one offer and doesn't mean that you'll lose. You just may have to adjust strategy a bit. Number three. Okay, this is a question that makes me laugh a lot, but it comes up all the time when people ask. Because, why are the sellers moving? Look, we don't know. As real estate agents, we don't know why they're selling. There's no box on the form to know that. And there's way too many houses out for me to know exactly why someone would be moving. However, if you are interested in the house, that can come up. The listing agent has no obligation to share why they are moving. In some ways, sometimes they shouldn't. So, usually it's to make money. They always want to make money. That's pretty much it, right? Why else would you sell the place? It won't be profitable for you to not sell it because you're moving on. Sometimes they'll tell you, they're buying another place or they're moving or whatever. You just, as a listing agent, I'm not going to tell people if I don't have to, because it may give a strategic advantage away, because people are going to know that you need to sell the house. So I don't want to tell people they need to sell the house. So sometimes I laugh and I say, because they want money. They have a good agent, so they're listening to me. So, but you can always ask. Number four, have the sellers made any changes to the home's original design? Now, they should be disclosing this on a seller disclosure anyway, but sometimes they don't or they forget. And so you can ask away. Buyer's agent won't know. There may be some signs they could tell. They can look. Here's a question. People get it hung up on like, oh, was this permitted or not? Permits are such a weird thing. So many things require permits that a lot of people don't get them. Appraisers generally don't look it up even. I would say this, if a place looks unsafe, yeah, you can go pull permits and see if it is, but it might not. Also, what if you end up buying the place and you alerted the permitting, the city, that there might be unpermitted work there? Now you're going to have to pay for it, possibly, right? It can cost you a bunch, but there's a lot of don't ask, don't tell that ends up happening in real estate. Again, it probably depends if it looks safe or not, like somebody did it, but I can never tell you not to look for permits if you want. But I'd probably more do it if it was an investment property where I'm going to be liable for people being injured that live there. I might want to know. But if you're going to ask the city, do it before you buy it, you know, because you don't want the problem when you've already taken control of it. Number five, are there any issues with the property? Again, here's the thing. The listing agent is going to avoid finding out the answer to this question, because if you ask and they know, they have to tell you. So it's a tricky question, but you should be asking. It's one you should be asking if you possibly can. Anything I should know about this? I mean, that's my advice. When I bought my house, did I ask that? No. Well, I looked at it, because sometimes it also makes you look like an unconfident buyer. Like, well, and right now, and that's what closing is all about, confidence right now. That's the person that they're picking to buy the house, is because they have confidence in this house closing. So I don't want to give that away a lot. So sometimes, I don't ask that a lot if I can avoid it. You can tell. I mean, there's things I want to know. Like, I'm looking at the electrical box for a certain brand. I'm looking for clues of wiring that might be knob and tube that I just want to know. I just want to know. So we can make a good offer, an educated offer. But be careful what you ask, because then you know. I would ask specific questions, though. Any issues? I would ask, do you know if the sewer has been drained? Has there been a sewer scope? Ask for an inspection. Ask about the roof. Specific things. So they don't, you can also present like, oh, I know what I'm looking for. And also it gives them a bragging moment to go, actually, the roof is only 4 years old. Or, oh, actually, they just replaced the pipes on here. But you got to be careful how you ask. That's part of the point. And, you know, you might have these opportunities to ask at an open house. And so, you know, if the listing agent is running it, you can ask them there. Or have your agent ask. One of the two. So that's the program, everybody. Thank you for listening. It's been delightful again for you to stop in here in Chateau Lindenstein and learn about real estate. Again, if you want that ebook or you want me to connect you with an agent in your area, email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. Or if you want to listen to my other podcast, Black and a Half, feel free to check that out wherever you listen to your podcast. My name is Silas Lindenstein with Boutique Brokerage. Happy home shopping.